Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Hey, guys, how doing? Doing all right? Cool. Well, it's good to be home. I was gone for a little bit. Maybe let me try to figure this computer thing out here. Hey, we're up. Look at that. I was for the last like 18 days, I was traveling around the UK and doing some training over there. I'll give you just a little brief update. We had Max, my intern, and I had just a wonderful time. We went over originally. I think we left here on the 14th of October, and we were hanging out in a little town in England called Leicester, and kind of like Leicester Park, only they spell it really different. And so we were hanging out over there. We were doing some. We were teaching a church planting school, and so we're working with about 8 church planting couples from the UK. You guys might not realize this, but Vineyard's in about 80 countries. We have well over 600 churches here in the U.S. and an additional, I think, 800 to 900 in like 80 other countries. So there's a lot of Vineyard churches out there. And so we were working doing a church planting school, and we had about those 8 couples and another 6 pastors or so that were getting trained. We were hanging out with them for a while and doing lots of stuff. And I got to see the inside of this hotel in England. That was kind of cool. And then we went out and visited a little church plant that was taking place in Leicester. They had several of their small groups that got together, and so we got to really pray with them. I taught about just welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we saw God come, and some people got healed that evening, and that was really fun. And then we went for a few days. We were in London, and at the Riverside Vineyard, there's a picture. There was a young adult conference that they had, and so I was speaking there. And on my way down to that, you know, I figured maybe I was speaking like 1 or 2 sessions, something like that, because that's what happens when you go to a conference like that as a speaker. But no, they had me scheduled for all 5 sessions, and so I ran out of jokes after the first session. It was really difficult, but it was really fun. We had a good time, I think a couple times I just said, "Max, I'm really tired. Here's the microphone. You're leading ministry time." And I went and sat down. And he did great. It was so fun just watching him kind of trusting God and learning how to exercise some of the gifts that God's given to him. That was really cool. After that conference was over, we had our first little bit of free time. And so Max and I hopped on a train and went down to downtown London. And of course, it was dark. And this is one of the shots that I took. It was beautiful down there. They got this like giant Ferris wheel, and of course, everything was closed, but we just walked around and looked at the lights. And there was this cool thing that was going on. It was called the World Cup. You guys ever heard of that? It was this huge rugby tournament, you know, like everybody but the U.S. is in it. And England and South Africa were playing for the championship that night that we're down there, you know. So like the streets are kind of vacant and everybody's in the pubs. And we walked into a few of them, and the English were all looking kind of depressed. So we figured South Africa must be winning. And then later that night, you know, as we're heading back to our hotel, we're in this Waterloo train station, which is this huge, just big train station right in downtown London. And the South Africans are walking through, you know, together, and all at different parts, they're singing at the top of their lungs, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Because they just decimated the English, you know. And so it's like this incredible worship experience, and the acoustics in the Waterloo train station are just like reverberating around, and they're singing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" at the top of their lungs. And I just like got tears in my eyes. I go, "This is so cool." And the English are going, "No, it's not. No, it's not," you know. And so it's kind of fun. And then we took a week after that, and we went to Belfast. And this is looking down the street where I was staying one morning as the sun was coming up. And we just got to hang out in Belfast for a while. It was an absolute blast. We were speaking at the Belfast City Vineyard Church on, I think it was just last Sunday. And and met with several leaders and potential church planters from there. We started going over and helping the Belfast City Vineyard about 5 years ago. There were about 50 people coming at that point. Now they're a church of about 300. They're doing really, really well. And so we got to teach them how we do staff meetings and some of that stuff because they have lots of multiple staff. And then from there, if that's not enough, we went up to a little town called Strängnäs outside of Stockholm in Sweden. And we met with a family up there who used to go to the vineyard. If you've been around for maybe 8+ years, you would maybe recognize Henrik and Christina. And since then, they've had 3 beautiful little kids. And so Max and I went and spent some time with them. They're getting ready to start a church plant. And so we're going to be probably over the next couple years taking some teams and going and hanging out in Sweden and visiting them. And overall, it was a wonderful trip. And more than anything, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys. Thank you for really supporting us as a church and as a staff and as families that, you know, and some of you have gone on trips to these places. And I mean, God just does some incredible stuff through us. You know, he's given us so many cool gifts of his presence and just different training opportunities that we have. And so it's just incredibly fun to be able to go give that away. And so while it's fun to go travel, it's much better to come home. And I just had a song that came to mind that could commemorate just this moment where we're back together again.
Reunited, and it feels so good. Reunited,
because
we
are restored. Yeah, I just, you know, it's just like, this is such a special moment for me, and I know it is for you, and so I just thought, you know, we should celebrate together a little bit. I listened to Brenda's podcasts while I was gone. Our website is pretty cool. She did a phenomenal job. In fact, several people. Yeah, there you go. Several people came up and said, Michael, you should go away more often. Yeah, it's wonderful. I love it. It's really cool being able to see people exercise their gifts that God has given them and creating space for that. And so that's a great segue. Today we're going to keep talking about spiritual gifts. And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're starting in verse 8. And we're going to look at 3 of the gifts that that Paul writes about there that are highlighted as gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are 3 that don't get talked about a lot. Or if they do, they kind of get defined, I think, in a way that's not really biblical. And so we want to kind of take a look at them a little bit this morning, the gifts of wisdom and knowledge and discernment. And if you have a program, there's an outline in there. If you want to follow along and take some notes, you might find it helpful. Let me pray, and then I'll start reading in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. And if you want to follow along, there's Bibles available, like right underneath your chair. And if you brought your own Bible and you know how to find 1 Corinthians, you could do that. It's somewhere in the New Testament, I believe. I'm teasing you. Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for today. And God, I just want to thank you for just the Vineyard community kind of all around the world that you allow us to be a part of. Lord, I know that there's lots of really good churches, even in our city meeting right now. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them. But I just thank you so much for our family in our community. And so, Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you encourage us in just these gifts of the Holy Spirit? And would you really grow us as a family? Grow us as a family in lots of different ways. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 8, Paul writes this. He says, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Let me kind of start at the end of this paragraph in verse 11 and make this statement. I believe that these gifts are situational, meaning they're dependent on the Holy Spirit. They're less of a matter of our will, your will or mine. They're much more of a matter of the will of the Holy Spirit. So a few years ago, actually a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, John Wimber, one of the founders of the Vineyard, actually came up with the word situational to describe these 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gifts. And I believe it's a really good language, it's a really good word to help us understand and a way to think about the gifts we have listed here. We don't own the gifts. The Holy Spirit owns the gifts. Now, we've hit this, Brenda and I, over the last 6 or so weeks from a lot of different angles. I just want to make this point again today, just really straight on, that these gifts really don't belong to us. We don't own the gifts. You know, they're not like Superman powers that I can exercise anytime I want to and just, you know, click on my x-ray vision. You know, hey, you're all like naked underneath those clothes. You know, it's not how that, you know, that's not the way that it works. Sorry about that. Yeah, I got distracted there for a minute. But do you know what I mean? We don't own these gifts. They're gifts that the Holy Spirit gives when he wants to give them. You know, some of the humor that I had didn't really work really well in England. And I worked really hard to not, like, say anything that was too bad, but one time I really blew it, and you'll just have to email me and ask me about that because I don't want to relive my most painful moments in my life, you know, and so someday we'll talk about that. So these gifts are situational, and that's really helpful for a few different reasons. Let me highlight a few reasons why this is a big deal, why we talk about this quite a bit. The first is this. I don't believe that you have all the gifts you ever will have. They're gifts. God gives us gifts. It's not like you've been given all the birthday gifts you're ever going to get. Right? You're going to have another birthday. You can get more gifts. That's the kind of the nature of a gift. And so the Holy Spirit's going to continue to give gifts. And you don't have all the gifts that you ever have. Now, I know this kind of goes against, if you've been a Christian and been in church for a few years, it may go against some of the teaching that you've heard that, you know, when you become a Christian, you get these gifts, that's all you have, good luck, hope they work, you know. You have the gift of administration, sorry, it's not a great gift, but you got it, right? Like, I just don't think that's the way that it works. By the way, the gift of administration is a wonderful gift. We need them in our lives. You know, we can organize more than our closets. You can really help organize lots of stuff. And it's an incredibly powerful gift. I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. So you don't have all the gifts you ever will have. And you can ask God for gifts you don't have yet. That's why Paul says a little bit later in this letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, he says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Like, he wouldn't tell us to eagerly desire gifts if, like, you got your allotment and that's all you got. You know, good luck. Hope you live. But you can ask God for more. And he says, eagerly desire them, especially the gift of prophecy. He says, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. You know, and if you speak in tongues, then you got to pray to interpret. And so you can ask for some of these gifts. We can pray for additional gifts. We're not locked in to what we currently have. And then there's also some indication about the nature of these gifts just in the verb tense in this passage. Now, I don't want to put you through a boring kind of Greek language lecture, but all the verbs in this passage that we just looked at, verses 8 to 11, they're all present tense verbs. See, an aorist tense verb is a verb that says, like, Jesus died once. It's not continually dying, but he just died once for all. That's it. That accomplished the purpose. These verbs mean that they continue to happen, you know, that they continue to go on. The Holy Spirit is giving these gifts. He continues to give these gifts. It's not just a one-time action in the past where you have this as your possession now and it's subject to your control. Because if it was just a one-time gift in the past and it was, like, subject to your control, then you don't need God anymore. Like, you can just, like, call up the gift anytime you want and you use it, right? But no, we're meant to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And so the fact that these gifts are situational is actually really helpful because you and I are supposed to depend on the Holy Spirit, you know? They remain his gifts and he distributes them as he will. And so what this does is that invites us to have a posture of openness and receptivity. That God can do whatever God wants to do, really whenever he wants to do it. And it doesn't matter if God's never used you with a gift of healing. Or maybe God's never used you with a gift of wisdom. You know, you've just been kind of lame with all your advice for your whole life. That if you're sitting next to somebody who's ill and you really want to see God heal them, you know, you can just pray for them. You can put your hand on them. You can say, Holy Spirit, you've never done this for me before, but I'm just asking for a gift of healing for this person right now. Would you give them healing? What would it be like if the 1,000 or so people that attend the Vineyard this weekend, what would it be like if we just adopted this posture of openness and receptivity to the Holy Spirit, and as we go throughout our life this week, we just said, God, you can use me in any way you want with any of the gifts that you want. I've never been very wise. I've never been very knowledgeable. You've never healed anybody through me. But what if this week you took a risk and you began to depend on God more and you began to just ask him more? You began to turn towards him more. Expect more. Ask for more. Depend on God for more. That's why this situational deal is such an important point, and we hit this again and again and again. Because I think, call me crazy, that God can use you in any way that he chooses at any time, if you're just open to that. Does that make sense? So spiritual gifts are situational. These spiritual gifts we're talking about here are also simply the body of Christ at work. In this whole passage, Paul is talking about the body of Christ. And he's, you know, relaying kind of the imagery, the idea that you and I, full of the Holy Spirit, are actually together. We're the physical body of Christ in the world today. That God can do really what he did through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother teaching. But the way that Jesus accomplished what he did was through the Holy Spirit in him. You don't see anything before the Holy Spirit comes on him at his baptism, and all these miracles and supernatural stuff. And then many times Jesus like walked into a synagogue. I think it's Luke chapter 4. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was powerfully strong right there at that point in time. And then Jesus healed the sick. And so it was the Holy Spirit that was doing this stuff through Jesus. Jesus is showing us what receptivity to the Holy Spirit looks like. And of course, Jesus was perfectly receptive because there was no sin in him whatsoever. He totally shows us what this looks like in its most perfect form. You and I always have static in our relationship with God, but God's still there and he still wants to move. And we can learn to tune into him. We can listen to him. And so this is the body. These gifts really are the body of Christ at work. And these gifts that are listed there, I think there's about 12 of them or so, and or was there 3, 3, 3? That'd be 9. 3, 3, and 3 is 9, right? Okay, so there's 9 of them. And so I'm not real good with math, you know, and I'm okay with like Greek and Hebrew, but math is like, you know. So anyway, sorry about that. I got distracted. And like I think they call it ADDDDDD or something like that. I get distracted really easily. Back on track. And so, you know, what we see here is these 9 gifts. People have tried to categorize them and break them up in lots of ways. One of the ways that's pretty helpful is I just think about the body of Christ. Like, the body of Christ has a mind. And in the mind of Jesus, we see expressed through these gifts of wisdom and knowledge and discernment. The body of Christ also has a mouth. And through the mouth, we see expressed some of the gifts that Paul talks here, like, prophecy and tongues and like interpretation of tongues. And the body of Christ also has hands. And through the hands, we see some of the gifts of like faith, healing, and miracles. And that's one helpful way to kind of think about these things. One of the things that you want to do, though, is you want to realize that there are a wide variety of gifts. Like, I don't think that this list of these gifts is like conclusive. Like, these are the only gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because a little bit further down, even in chapter 12, Paul mentions the gift of giving. He has a different list that he uses, and some of these are in it, but the gift of giving is there. Or in Romans chapter 12, you see actually the gift of administration. And so there's a wide variety of gifts, and you find lists of gifts in this passage. You find them, and also, you know, kind of throughout the next 3 chapters here, you find lists in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. And also, I think it's important to not try to over-define these gifts or try to kind of think of them like too narrowly. You know, they kind of blur together at the edges. When does a gift of healing actually become a gift of miracles? You know, there's a group of like kind of junior high school gals at this conference I was speaking at in London. And one of their friends was kind of, they invited her up for prayer. She had a really hard time walking because her hip was kind of crooked and out of joint. And one leg was about 1.5 inches shorter than the other leg. And the pastor of the Vineyard Church that had brought these girls was telling me about it after the fact. He's a cool name. His name is Nino. Isn't that a cool name? Not like Nemo, but I thought that was cool too. But anyway, so Nino was telling me about these girls, and there's like five or six of them, and they kind of gathered around her friend, you know, that friend, and they were just praying for healing. And at one point as they were praying, it's just like her body kind of just kind of did that little kind of a thing. And she goes, my hip feels different. And Nino was there, and he goes, well, put your legs out here. Let me look at your legs. And one leg was, you know, significantly shorter than the other leg. They were looking at it. And he goes, well, girls, why don't you just pray that God grows her leg? They're like, okay. And so they, you know, they didn't know what to do. They just thought, cool, maybe God could do this. And they put her hands on her leg, and they prayed, and it was like, zip, like that. And they were jumping around like they'd just seen, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost or something. I mean, they were like quite excited, as you can imagine. They just watched that happen. And then she was up kind of walking around and like not experiencing pain. Like, does that mean that they own the gift of healing? No. But they just trusted God at that moment. And they, you know, stepped out and they began to do that. When does that become a miracle? Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of a miracle that she got healed. And so, you know, it's important not to try to define these gifts too narrowly. You know, like the illustration of a rainbow, for instance. This picture works good for me. I was in Ireland, and I looked out one morning, and it was kind of misty and stuff, and there was the coolest rainbow. Have you ever seen, like just a full-fledged rainbow where you can see, like, every little element? And it was hitting this side of the ground and hitting this side of the ground over here. You could see, like, the whole thing. And I'm thinking, I'm in Ireland. There's a rainbow. Pot of gold. Leprechauns. This is like my lucky day, you know? But anyway, it's kind of cool. Like, if you look at the rainbow, it's like, how do you tell where blue ends and green begins? It's like, can you draw a line there? No. It's kind of fuzzy. It kind of blurs. And the gifts are a bit like that. In fact, in 1 Peter 4:10, Peter calls these gifts the manifestations of God's multicolored grace. Some of your translations would say various forms of grace or variegated grace. But it actually speaks of just multicolor in the original language. And so that's one of the things that we see here. We don't try to define these things too narrowly. The Holy Spirit expresses himself through the prism of all the various spiritual gifts that are there. So think about this for a minute. Paul begins this list of spiritual gifts with wisdom and knowledge. Like, why would he, in writing to the Corinthians, begin this list of spiritual gifts with wisdom and knowledge? Why would he do that? I mean, because if I was going to begin a list of spiritual gifts, I might begin with miracles, you know, something big, prophecy, healing. That'd be kind of cool. I'd get everybody's attention. Wow. Paul begins with knowledge, wisdom. What do you think that might be? Well, one of the reasons I think that might be is because really all the gifts are important, you know? Every single spiritual gift is important. Everything that God wants to give to the body of Christ, giving is an incredibly important spiritual gift. Some of you guys are here today and you feel like, you know, because I've met many people like this. I'm successful in business. You know, what I do in business, it just seems to go well. My dad was like this. And, you know, I don't have any trouble with business. This is like, it works well for me. And I don't really have a lot of time to, like, you know, make coffee or do other stuff at the church. I don't feel like I'm good with teaching, you know, and the teaching gifts are the one we value, or maybe the leading worship and singing pretty gifts and all that kind of stuff, you know, are what we really value, and they're really valuable. All I do is, like, give money. Like, that's an incredibly important thing in the body of Christ, or administration. Incredibly important. I know one couple that they tweaked their expenses in their household. They really went through and kind of managed their expenses well and set up a really good budget so that they could easily live with one income, but they both work. You know why? They give away 50% or more of their income all the time. That's pretty cool. God's gifted them in that. You know, some of us, it's like we can't hardly part with a dollar. And we need to grow. We need to learn how to give, because every follower of Jesus is supposed to be doing that. But these guys really take it to a whole new level. And I believe that God wants to give lots of us gifts like that, that he wants to pour those out. And they're all equally important. They're all equally valuable, even though the function is different. And as I exercise my gift, my function ends up putting me up here. It's not more valuable or more important than the gifts that God's given you. And the only way the body of Christ gets really, really healthy is when we all exercise this multicolored variety of the gifts that God's given us. So let's look at these three here. This is the mind of Christ at work. That's one helpful way to think about these gifts. This is the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus being expressed in the church. The first one is wisdom. And the spiritual gift of wisdom really does basically a biblical definition is it's giving us God's direction. There's choices to be made in life. There's direction that we need to go. How do we know which way to go? How do we know what choice to make? And it could be our personal lives. It could be in group leadership. It could be to solve a problem, discern God's plan, to please God with an ethical course of action. It's a way that we're looking at what does God really want to do? What direction does he want to take us? Wisdom helps us know what to do next. This is vitally important if you want to lead your family. Gift of wisdom. How do you know what to do next? At the height of King Solomon's career as a king, when he was most kind of blessed by God, when we see the gift of wisdom at its finest, we see the story of two moms that were coming in fighting over whose baby this was. Remember that story? Have you guys ever read the Bible? This is a cool book. You ought to read this thing, you know, once in a while. And so every day, a little bit, you know, it's like a little bit, a little dabble, do you, kind of thing, you know, keep something like that. That was like a Brill Cream commercial from the 60s. Ah, oh, glorious years. Reunited. Okay. And so so these two moms come in and they're arguing over who owns this baby. Whose child is this? And in this brilliant stroke of wisdom from God, Holy Spirit inspired insight, King Solomon pulls out the sword and says, well, let me just cut the baby in two. Each of you get half. And the real mom goes, no, let the baby live. I'd rather see the baby alive than have my child dead. And King Solomon knows exactly whose child it is at that point. Holy Spirit inspired wisdom. You're a parent. Your kids come to you and they're arguing over whose Tootsie Roll is this, you know? Pull out the sword. No. What do you do? Right? Cut both your kids in half. No, wait, that's not how it goes. What do you do? And so it's like, you know, in our lives, we need God's gift of wisdom. There are times I love my little laptop. There are times I can't figure out how to get it to do what I want it to do. You know what I do? I pray. I go, God, I know you didn't make the thing, right? Otherwise, it'd work perfectly all the time. But Lord, you know how it works. You know how to get done what I want to do. I don't want to waste a whole day trying to figure this thing out. Holy Spirit, what's up with this? You know, you're trying to communicate with your spouse and you just aren't making, like, you're from a different planet or something. You're in different time zones. Nothing's working, right? They're like, how do you communicate? God, would you give me your wisdom? Would you show me how to communicate to this man in a way that he can understand for once, finally, right? Or this woman, however the case may be. And so the Holy Spirit can give us wisdom in that. Maybe you're going through difficulties or trials. I love James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Just ask God, who gives generously to all. Get this. You want wisdom? God gives generously to all, James chapter 1, verse 5, without finding fault. See, he's not like the people in our lives. And you ask him their advice, and you go, well, doofus, this is how it's done. Right? God gives generously to all without finding fault. And so we can come to him. We can ask him for wisdom. And a spiritual gift of wisdom is incredibly cool. So how do you get to where you get God's wisdom, where you can see below the surface? How do you get there? I'm not going to dive into this in great detail. I'm going to tell you to go back about 3 weeks and listen to Brenda's first message. If you weren't here and you didn't get a chance to hear that, like grab the CD, you know, download it from the internet. I love our website. I listened to my wife on the podcast. And like, it was cool. It's like, hey, I'm almost at home. You know, I'm talking to my wife in a different time zone somehow. But I was listening to her teach that. It's like, that's it. You develop a friendship, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you know, I ask you about your relationship with God, the Father, and you go, okay, God the Father, I kind of get. I had a father. Maybe I didn't have a father, but I kind of know how fathering things work, and so I kind of get God the Father. God the Son, what's your relationship with God the Son, with Jesus? I, you know, arms open wide, bloody naked, dying on a cross, showing me God the Father's love. Yeah, I kind of get that thing. Tell me about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Casper the Friendly Ghost? I mean, like, how do you have a relationship? Go back and listen to that. Brenda just talked about it. And that woman knows what it means to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so you develop this interactive, this interpersonal, this communicative relationship where you speak and God answers and God speaks and you respond. That relationship with God that we're meant to have, like that's vital, that's important. And then from that, you begin to hear God's wisdom in your life about all sorts of different kinds of things. And you know, one of the cool things in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says that Jesus is the wisdom of God, like capital W. You develop this relationship with God, and you're going to know what he thinks. He's going to give you gift of wisdom. And then gift of knowledge, verse 8. You know, this term has been used completely wrongly in most of the church today. And it kind of comes from about 100 years ago at the birth of the Pentecostal movement in at Azusa Street. It's like people were, as they're like worshiping God, they would all of a sudden know things about one another that you had no way of knowing, right? You would know something. And so you'd see somebody and it's like, well, I know something that's going on in your life. Let me talk to you about it. Let's deal with this thing, right? So what do you, and they just like, well, okay, knowing something, gift of knowledge, it must be a word of knowledge. And so lots of our churches have used word of knowledge that way. Well, biblically, when you know something about somebody that you had no way of knowing, what gift do you call that in the Bible? Prophecy, exactly. And so when Jesus is with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he begins to tell her about her past husbands and that the man that she's living with now is not her husband, she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Not, I perceive that you had a word of knowledge, right? And so a word of knowledge is not the same thing as prophecy. And prophecy is vitally important, but we get those things confused. What the biblical gift of knowledge is really all about is spirit-inspired insight into something God's already spoken and said. Oftentimes, most of the time, it's the scriptures. It's this gift of knowledge is really all about, and you find this really throughout the Bible in lots of different ways. Acts chapter 10, where Peter is interacting with Cornelius, and you see the gift of knowledge expressed there. And then in Acts chapter 15, where they're beginning to have an argument at the council in Jerusalem, at the early church, you see the gift of knowledge expressed there through Peter and through James. This is a lot more. Oftentimes the church has put down people that really like to think and say, you know, well, if you're a thinker, you don't really experience God. Well, no. Some of you that are thinkers, that you love reading and studying, you love the intellect. It's like God's given you gifts of knowledge. And it's really meant to function. It's really meant to work in a really cool way in the body of Christ. And so you're reading scripture and the Holy Spirit begins to show you how this applies to your life at that time. Spirit-inspired insight. When I'm reading the scriptures, I pray all the time, God, would you give me a gift of knowledge? Like, what does this mean? Like, why did Paul list wisdom and knowledge first in these gifts? Like, why is that? I'm good at asking the questions. God's got the answers. In fact, when I take the spiritual gift inventory stuff, you know, like, what are those two guys up here? Chris and Ben. All I could think of was Peter and Paul. And I'm like, no, I don't think I hired them. It'd be cool to hire them, but I don't think we have them on our staff, right? You know? And so Chris and Ben, they were talking about Vineyard 301, where it's a spiritual gift inventory. That's really good, really powerful stuff. And knowledge comes up, like, always way high on mine. That's one of the gifts that God gives me on a regular basis. I don't own the gift, but sometimes we can operate a lot more just because of the way God's wired us. We operate a lot better in this than at other times. The gift of knowledge also causes us to recognize God's voice and acknowledge his will. The Greek New Testament words for knowledge, there's five of them, and all of them speak of this: the recognition or acknowledgement of God's will, his word, or his activity. If you're looking for God's will in your life, one of the things you're asking him for is a gift of knowledge. I want to learn how to recognize, God, what you're doing, where you're going, what you're up to in my life. And it often, what we're doing is we're taking a look at something God's already spoken through his word or through some form of prophecy. The Reformers actually called this illumination, spirit-inspired insight that brings edification through instruction, is the way the Reformers would have talked about it. And then the last gift we highlight here today is the gift of discernment. And the spiritual gift of discernment actually helps us to recognize the source and the significance of spiritual activity. So one quick example, last week I was praying for a guy. It was at one of these little church planting things that I was leading, and he's interested in planting a church. But as I was praying for him, I felt like there was this bitterness and stuff in his heart, and I prayed a little bit more, and I felt like it maybe had come through a past leader in a church, a past pastor that he was pretty close to, that really just kind of just like blew him off. And I just asked him if that's true, and he started to cry, and I took that as a yes, you know, and I began to just kind of pray for him about that. And as I was praying for him, he was kind of, you know, convulsing a little bit, you know, it's like kind of like, I don't know, cramping in your stomach or something like that. And so I was praying, I felt like God was maybe cleaning some of that out, and kind of got done praying for a little bit. And then I just realized, oh, what God wants to do here, and I don't know how I realized it, but it just kind of came into my mind. What God wants to do here is he wants to actually, there's deliverance that God wants to do. And so I just spoke that. I said, you know, I think God wants to take this healing deeper. There's a deliverance that he wants to do. Wham! The guy just kind of like just buckled over. I'm like, oh, maybe that's true. You know? And so we began to pray for that. And see, when you hold on to bitterness, when you hold on to sin in your life, it gives the enemy a foothold. And so the enemy was there just making this thing a lot worse than it needed to be. That was a gift of discernment at work at that point in time. Sometimes I'm not quite so discerning. But God brings discernment at the time that we need it, when we're open, when we're available to that. Okay? So the Holy Spirit can really empower us in some of these different ways. So here's what I want to do. I think it's good to study this stuff. I think it's great to take a look at it and learn it. But if that's where it stops, you know, I think we're aborting what God really wants to do in our lives. And so I want us to give us an opportunity this morning to just invite God to come and do what he really wants to do and just really speak to us in some powerful ways. And so I want you guys to stand up, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. It's kind of time to start stop talking and start doing. I'm old enough to know I need a lot of wisdom in my life, and I don't have it. I'm old enough to know that I need knowledge that I don't have. I can read a lot of books, and I'm not going to get knowledge that God wants to give. I'm old enough to know that I got lots of areas in my life where I need discernment, in my marriage, in my parenting, and in work stuff. You know, I need God to show up. And I bet you're probably at about the same place. And so I just want to ask God to give us those gifts. And I know the Holy Spirit's always here. When we gather together in our lives individually, as you surrender to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in your life. What I'm asking God to do is to bring his gifts. So when I say, Holy Spirit, come, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, would you manifest your presence? Would you bring like the whole rainbow of who you are to our lives right now? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? And we say, Lord, we really need you. God, we got things in our lives where we just lack your wisdom. We don't see it from your perspective. We're not sure what to do next. God, would you bring a gift of wisdom now? Lord, we got areas in our lives where we just don't know. We look at your word, we look at your will in our lives, and we're just confused. We don't know. God, would you bring a gift of knowledge? And Lord, would you also bring gifts of discernment today? Allow us to really assess rightly what's going on, just spiritually around us. Pull back the curtains, as it were, and let us see behind the stage. See what's going on. Some of you guys have relationships in your life where you're trying to communicate to another person, and it just feels like ships passing in the night. Everything you say is always taken wrong. And some of it may be that you need to learn how to communicate, but some of it, I just have this sense, is the enemy. And he's just twisting everything. And you just can't hear what the other person's saying. God wants to bring discernment into how to break through that. For some of you, it's God's will. What do I do? Where am I headed? He wants to bring gifts of knowledge. And for some of you, it's just wisdom. You got choices. Which way do I go? What do I choose? He wants to bring wisdom to your life. And if we ask, his word says he gives generously. And so I'm just inviting you to ask. If you feel like you need more wisdom or knowledge or discernment in your life, would you make your way up here to the front? So I want to take some time and just pray for one another. Just make your way on up here. And if you're on the ministry team, why don't you guys come up here as well? And this team, worship team, will lead us in worship, and you guys can hang out as long as you want. We'll pray for one another. But I just think God wants to show up, and he wants to give us his gifts today. And so if there's anything we can pray about in your life, we'd love to pray for you. So Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? Just come, God. We need wisdom. We need discernment. We need knowledge, God. We need all of your gifts. And so we just submit ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, come and just release your presence here right now. Just release your presence. Yeah. Feel free to hang out as long as you guys want. If we can pray for anything, go ahead and come on up here. We'll pray for you. Other than that, have a great day. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.